Hello, everyone. Here on the Subscribe blog, I have here Abhishek. And I have been working with Abhishek now for
two years.
And while I sit around and pontificate, Abhishek is actually doing a real job. And Abhishek, in addition to owning some of the features and overseeing the kind of public surface area mostly, you're also driving process in the team. So,
that's right.
So tell me about how we do things, because I obviously, what do I know?
Great to be here on this Subscribe blog session. Just a quick introduction. I'm Abhishek Lal. I'm a program manager with Clemens on Azure. And from a process perspective, I just want to talk about a little bit of my experience. I started Microsoft right out of college, and I started off as a tester. And after doing that for a couple of years, I was a test lead. So got that experience, and then I moved into a developer role, where I was a dev for about 4 years. And then now a program manager. So I've really sort of sat on every seat in the conference room. In engineering, we are program manager, developer, tester disciplines. And it's very, very interesting how you know, the development process at Microsoft works, because it truly is a three-way collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And one might assume that these boundaries are very clear, but a lot of the times they are not.
And it's a fairly unusual, if you look at people in the, you know, out there in the world, I don't often see that these delineations, or even a split between PM and dev in that way,
right.
Where you have a product manager who's owning kind of the charter of the product and where that goes,
right.
In a loose way, but then kind of the devs are driving things. But
right.
So I'll be talking to Cesar, for instance, about test and why it makes sense to have a dedicated test team. So we're going to do that later this week.
That's great.
But it's I think it's interesting that we have actually these
three disciplines.
Three disciplines, which actually roll up very high up now to the president of the company.
Correct.
To our boss in SDB.
I mean, it is incredible that today in Microsoft you will be at a president, like owning an entire P&L business level, before you'll be a cross-discipline manager. And they're definitely, you know, different models which work for different companies. But for Microsoft, I think the triad sort of model, where you have three different disciplines all working together, gives us some unique advantages in terms of that, and unique challenges.
So how do we? So in our team, we're having very rapid release cycles. We're effectively putting things into the data center practically every week, right? We have a process that's kind of it's somewhat agile, but it's also somewhat waterfall.
Right.
So take me through a milestone.
Absolutely. I'll talk about the sort of the waterfall part first, because, you know, that's a little more longer term and organized. From a strategy perspective, once a strategy is defined, there are customers and KPIs which we identify. And then there is a longer term sort of direction in terms of following through to those customers and tracking to those KPIs. That's pretty much the only thing which drives the waterfall model of setting a long-term direction. It could be something like ensuring there's a hybrid cloud strategy, ensuring that we have a very good auth story with Active Directory, and things like that. When it really comes down to the next step, which is the features and sort of updating the latest feature thing, that's way more on the agile side, because we are very, very responsive both to customer needs, as well as it's an ecosystem of services. So as you're aware, SharePoint workflows uses service bus messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And service bus messaging uses Azure Active Directory. And SQL Azure is used by several services, and Compute is used by services. So as each of these pieces build towards the longer term strategy, there are some very localized sort of decisions or agile decisions which you make from time to time on a milestone. And in that case, having these three disciplines really helps.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps us be more agile and helps us run fast, because you have very strong three motivations looking at the problem and bringing their perspective to the solution.
So we're currently in something we call prod what 11?
11.
Yes.
Just touched prod 11.
Yeah. So we're starting. So we have prod 11 means we have had several before that, and factually in Service Bus we're probably now in whatever prod 30 something, or even more. And prod 11 is the number of the milestone effectively, and milestone meaning ending in a really, it's something where we produce a set of features and then we
you can take our milestone to be what a sprint typically is.
Yes.
And a sprint always has something which you deliver, a part of a story which sort of ends something, and that's how we track our milestones too. So prod 11 has very clear deliverables, and the first week of the milestone, these are typically 6-week milestones, is all about planning. So really everyone comes together, looks at our backlog. We have a running backlog in Product Studio, Excel, you know, whatever.
Product Studio being our internal, it's effectively a SQL front end, if you will.
It's a big bug database.
It's a big bug database, exactly.
And the planning process is also very, very involved, because it really drives consensus amongst the three disciplines. Dev is bringing in the architecture and the issues which they want to solve perspective. Test is bringing in the customer side, the life side issues. PM is bringing in more the long-term charter, what can we do to make customers' lives easier. And then together we reach this consensus of a set of features that would build that sprint. There's some high-level themes which drive that particular thing. Like for example, prod 11, one of our themes is improve serviceability.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to improve the diagnosis and being able to monitor our service a lot. So that's sort of the Uber theme for the milestone.
And then we're creating effectively we're taking the big backlog and starting to make decisions about what from that big backlog we're going to go and take into the candidate
list for
candidate
this milestone.
List. And then comes the difficult entry part into the milestone,
yes.
Which is the cut line decision.
Right. Where everyone's got their, a few sacred items which they want to deliver, and all for the right motivations.
So what's the cut line?
The cut line is everything that we commit to doing for this milestone, and anything below the cut line is something which will then go back into the backlog for the next milestone.
And that's kind of based on, and that's something that we actually fight hard about, where the costing comes in, and then it's like, okay, so there's a ranking here on that Excel spreadsheet, and how do you do the ranking? And then there's effectively a cost. This is how much we can
this
do.
This is how much we can do.
But the nice thing about this is, knowing how things were before we entered the services world, when we talked about painful cuts, a painful cut would be something that you have to basically abandon and not revisit for 3 years.
3 years, correct.
And now it's
you revisit it in 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So so cuts are not so painful anymore.
Correct.
And it used to be in the frameworky times where we were actually having releases probably once a year or something.
Right.
That people would pride themselves into all the pain inflicted upon themselves in cutting. We've done these very painful cuts, and now it's effectively just, you don't cut anymore, you basically postpone. So cut line's probably a misnomer.
That's true, and I think that's what the agile perspective brings in, is that you will have so much more information 6 weeks from now in terms of the priorities that you shouldn't feel too bad about, you know, just moving something further along, because to the best of your knowledge today, you're doing the right things, you're focusing on the right things. So that's what the planning week looks like. And as you mentioned about detailed costing, well, detailed costing is a product of prototyping, spec writing, designs, architecture, all of that discussion which goes through. So you could say easily a week and a half spent by all the three disciplines in just focusing on this process.
So the topic of specs is, of course, driving the horror into the bodies of people who are listening, because that reeks of waterfall, right?
Right.
because it's not so agile, because you can't just, you know, sit down and then decide on a moment's notice what you're going to do.
Right.
What are we doing with those specs?
So specs is interesting, right? I think it's not your typical spec that we produce today. And you're very well aware of this, because specs today can be a running prototype. That's a spec.
Mm-hmm.
A spec today can be a mock application, which you write. You just show the scenario that it works. Everything underneath is you know, details of however it does.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's the traditional, here's how we'll achieve, here's the boxes which we'll check, and here what the architecture. So I think a spec is a very broad term today in just communicating what that deliverable looks like. And I think there's a lot of these good terms, right? Oh, we ship code, we don't ship specs, and things like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the consensus piece of what we will do, what will it be able to achieve, and what are the key characteristics of what you want,
yes.
Right? Does the feature, is it all about performance? Is it all about reliability? Is it just about functional, giving someone a particular functionality? What are the parameters of that functionality? That is all the spec is trying to do. It's trying to drive that consensus.
And I think what's also important is just the sheer presence of the test organization, a dedicated organization, dedicated people who are just doing nothing but effectively torturing the system until it breaks.
Correct.
What they're also doing is they're by their presence in the exit reviews, effectively all the planning or planning reviews.
Right.
That they effectively drive consistency and reason into the discussion, because if they can't, they're the first users of the features.
Right? Absolutely.
We're building a feature, and they're the first guys who are.
And that's
it.
The thing. Wearing that customer hat, right, is what test does best.
Yes.
Is how am I going to use this? Where does it fit with everything else that I'm doing, right? And does it actually achieve what's the right thing, you know, in terms of achieving? So, you know, in being in both, you know, test and PM disciplines, I think there is a distinction of whether are you doing something right and are you doing the right thing.
Yes.
I think that's the key thing about PMs are good at just telling you that are you doing the right thing? Let's make sure this is the audience we are targeting. Let's make sure this is the feature we do. Whether you did the feature right is what test brings.
Yes.
Is you said you want to do this, but are you actually able to achieve that scenario?
Right.
And are you able to do it in the parameters which the customer?
And it happens that we go and set out to do 7 things in a milestone, and one falls by the wayside because we can't do it.
Correct. Because again, it's the same part about knowing more when you have more information.
Yes.
So you've done your 1.5 weeks of planning. Now you're in execution mode, which lasts about 3 weeks, and you're coding away, and you find out new things, and you change in plans. Either some things drop off, or things take longer. Whichever way, but the idea being again, you hold yourself very hard to the milestone.
Yes.
Because again, you don't want to start, saying that, oh, I'm so committed to this plan, everything else is out, I'm just going to go finish these 4 things. Things change.
So plans are made, devs are coding,
right.
Testers are coding because they are testing kind of towards their
correct
the things that they need to do. And then we go into kind of this phase, which is code is done.
Mm. Stabilization.
Code complete, yes.
Right.
And now comes stabilization. How long is that?
Stabilization typically for us lasts about 2 weeks in there. And again, it's a balance for every team. On our team, we have a ratio in terms of dev test, which is more like 1-to-1. And that's why you'll see a 3-week coding milestone followed by a 2-week stabilization milestone. It really varies based on how many developers, kind of product, and things like that,
mm-hmm.
what your stabilization looks like. Think about stabilization as, again, bringing closure onto what you started off in terms of the milestone. Stabilization might be misleading. You might think things are very unstable and all that. That's not the case. Check-ins are gated.
Yes.
Check-ins are gated both by continuous improvements as well as by testing before the check-in happens,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
And code reviews, which
and
is very important. I mean, that's the one thing that we do with every check-in has to be signed off by
absolutely.
Folks. And there's
absolutely.
Nothing that goes into the depot, which is
which has not
review.
Had a,
yes.
at least 2 other pair of
yes.
eyes on it. So that way it's multiple layers of maintaining stability. But stabilization is more about bringing closure to the milestone, making sure everything is ready. And remember, from a service, a key part is about not regressing existing stuff. So every time you're building, you have to make sure the legacy continues, like everything which is working continues.
Yes.
And to us, the stabilization phase is primarily about making sure that we've not regressed the service, it's still as performant, it's still as reliable, and we've sort of not going to break customers mm-hmm. by updating the service, because it's just one service, right? Everything.
Yes.
You've already talked about our scale units and all those units. When we go do a deployment, it goes everywhere.
That's right. Yeah, it goes to all the eight data centers.
Eight data centers, all the units within that, and it is staged. It is staged, but there is never a point where we want to be where different data centers are running different versions of the code.
So as we go into stabilization, we also start, you know, turning the screws a little bit tighter on process and what you can and can't put into the depot, right?
Correct. The way that is achieved is by having shiprooms. Shiprooms are a, I don't know if it's a Microsoft unique concept, but it's an amazing concept. Shiproom is where you really have to come in and justify why you should be allowed to make a check-in. And when shiproom starts, 2 weeks before ship, things are a little easy. But as you said, that crank turns and turns and turns. So by the time you're at the end, you know, the last sort of couple of days, you better have your, you know, your I's dotted and your T's crossed, right?
So if you come in with a, let's say there's a bug in the system, I mean, since we're doing this every, you know, six weeks.
Right.
So there's a, we have an API, and the API is new, and it basically works, but there's a knob, and that knob doesn't do what it's supposed to do, but it's not a critical thing. It's an embarrassing bug. But if you happen to catch this 2 days before we ship, you're probably not going to get the permission to get that in.
That's right.
If there's risk involved.
Correct. Yeah. And I think the risk is the key thing, right? So what Shiproom is again bringing together leadership. So this is higher management, you know, manager level folks, as well as the leads and the PMs, dev, test, all of the disciplines to build that risk assessment. Right, both in terms of what's the risk to the milestone, what's the risk to the existing service, what does the code change look like? So Shiproom is very code focused too.
So the code actually shows up on the wall and people are critiquing whatever they're...
Exactly. And then what Shiproom also does, I think, is a great way of helping us reflect on those kinds of issues so that we do a better job next time.
Yes.
Like one of the first questions we have, why didn't you find this earlier? Right? Or why is this an issue now? And that really helps. That's a great question to answer at the end of every milestone, because for the next milestone, you might make changes to your process.
Yes.
The other aspect, which we don't do on every milestone, but we should do more often, is the part about a retrospective.
Mm-hmm.
So Shiproom is a little bit of that retrospective.
Well, we're getting, obviously, we're getting retrospective every day. Through you know, running the software ourselves. I mean, that's because on servicing, I'm probably going to go and corner Mohammed to talk about servicing, where that gives us kind of the checks and balances and kind of reality check, because if we ship things into the data center, which is has low quality, we're suffering from that very immediately, because we're going to get called out of bed at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Absolutely. And that's another beautiful part about the whole team. The whole team participates in the servicing. It doesn't matter if you're PM, dev, test. It doesn't matter whether you're a manager, lead, or IC. Everyone's part of the servicing.
Yes.
So keeping the service up is
and it's a great motivation to... So it also calibrates kind of what you're looking for in terms of things that you led through in Shiproom, because Shiproom ultimately also has a cut line of here's 80 bucks that we have.
Right.
You know, what are you catching? The one that's
that's the
bringing
one
the service down, or the one that's just a mere inconvenience where you can say, sorry, here's a release note. Sorry, you can't use that feature right now.
Correct. And I think that's where the sort of the experience builds in and things like that, where you really utilize your past perspective and things to make those judgment calls, because those calls are hard to make in terms of that.
So then comes effectively sign off, even though that's not such a celebration thing anymore.
Oh, it is. It is. It absolutely is. There's this thing called the RTO, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we send an email. Now, it's just an email kind of thing. But it's a big deal. So what it RTO is, release to operations,
yes,
right? So release to operations is the time when we say the team's done, and now it's ops which will go and deploy,
yes,
in terms of update the data centers and them. So it's a big moment. You hear a flourish and people running down the hall sometimes with some high fives and stuff, because it's a big deal. That's what we should. We have ship-its, as you know, which is about.
Yep, but unfortunately, we're not getting one every 6 weeks.
Oh.
But this is the ship-it. Let me just get it.
Yeah.
So let me just show that to you.
Right. So this sort of is a very, very, it's a sentimental thing. It's an important,
yes,
thing.
So you have SQL Server 2008, VS 2010, and .NET 4. I think I have that too. Windows Azure Service Bus, Visual Azure Tools for Visual Studio,
right,
and the Windows Azure Spring release. How, I don't have that one.
I'm sure it's sitting in your mailbox right
you
now.
Think, you,
yes,
you think so?
It's just came.
Ah, so, oh, so, yeah, I have to go and find where my, yeah, because I haven't seen that. So, these are kind of for the big milestones. You kind of get these little recognition awards, and then people are collecting them, and
right,
when people have been in the company for, I don't know how many years, they have 400 of those.
No, we do ship way more often, but ship it is a way of just, you know, a physical recognition, because
mm-hmm.
what we produce is bits.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's, you can't get your hands on it.
And this is the envy that we have of. This is why I'm so envious of aerospace engineers in the 50s, because
there you go. You see the rocket go up. You see,
exactly,
the car drive on the road. You see,
yes,
the box you just built. But we built bits. So
right,
you know, this is our
right,
cheap thrill.
Well, thank you very much for giving some insight into the process, how we do things. I'll talk about some other aspects more in details with test folks, probably also Connor MK, and talk a little bit about the dev side of the world. But I hope that was interesting to get some insight into how we do things here in the Service Bus team. And catch me next time for the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.